Do it slower.
No.
Shh.
And if you saw my love, I'd love her.
Paul's broken at last, broken at last. Paul's broken at last, at last, at last. He's broke today.
Take nine.
I love that.
Ready? Ringo, keep your bit dead.
Ringo!
We're taping.
Take 10.
Here's super stain on Dan Bell's ICD. Oh, yeah, next week.
Good morning and welcome to From Me to You on Hippie Radio. This is Richard Courtney along with Claudia Iannucci, who's making us sound good. And today we have with us Mike Stewart, who is an accomplished musician and been playing all over the country in a number of different fashions. Currently is a box top along with Gary Talley and others. And so, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. I love the show and I love being here.
Good. So today we're going to talk about the Beatles on keyboards, which I've always been fascinated with, especially since George Martin, who was known as this erudite professor type, played keyboards on things such as rock and roll music and other rockers where you wouldn't expect George Martin to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to talk about on the keyboards today?
Well, there are so many innovations and so many things that the Beatles did over their career, especially with George Martin, that keyboard players, I'm a keyboard player. In fact, I'm the keyboard player in the Box Tops. So we learned from their mastery of keyboard creativity. John, Paul, and George Martin all did keyboards on a lot of the records, not in the beginning records, but I kind of have a little overview of things that we can review. And if you're a Beatle fan and you didn't pay attention to this, maybe you'll pay attention to this when you get pointed out to you. So the first album in England was the Please Please Me album. And I reviewed it again recently. It was all guitars, bass, and drums. You know, they recorded that album in a day. And I don't think there was any piano or keyboards on any of that first album.
Mystery, maybe.
I didn't hear it, but possibly. Okay. Possibly, but when they did with the Beatles, you started hearing the piano show up. And there were four songs on that first album, and I believe George Martin played it. By this time, Paul probably was just playing his bass. George and John were playing guitar, and obviously Ringo and drums and vocals. But you can hear the piano really predominantly, some great piano playing on Little Child. And
right.
I think that was the first Beatles song that I ever heard that I went, oh my gosh, there's a keyboard, there's a piano on it. And of course, I just checked it just to verify it. There's three other songs on that album. You Really Got a Hold on Me has a piano intro. Not a Second Time has a middle eight piano solo. And of course, the Motown song Money has a lot of piano in it. So
yeah, let's start with A Little Child. Let's listen to that one.
Thank you.
So that's Little Child by the Beatles off the With the Beatles album, unless you were in the United States at the time, and it was Meet the Beatles. And we have Mike Stewart with us, who is a keyboard player for Box Tops presently, and is really a talented musician and has played all over the country, all over the world, I suppose. So do you want to talk about the piano on Little Child, or do you want to go to the next song?
Well, the thing I want to say is that you can tell that is an accomplished player. I can't find out if it was Paul doing the overdub. I bet it was a George Martin overdub. The playing was a great part. It was traditional rock and roll piano, and George was an amazing, accomplished pianist. So I would venture to say that Paul probably didn't do any piano on that first album. But
no, I don't think they did for a while.
Yeah. And, of course, there were lots of records that, you know, later, for instance, like in A Hard Day's Night, the guitar solo in the middle, which is a complicated solo for George. In fact, I've read that they slowed the tape down so he could get the licks in. George doubled it with a piano doing the same exact lick, which gives it that sound.
Well, let's listen to that right now.
Okay,
let's listen to A Hard Day's Night and listen to the solo, because you will hear the piano very distinctively. And you were right, George did record his part at half speed, and then they sped it up because he couldn't master that at the time. So here's A Hard Day's Night.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
That's A Hard Day's Night. We're talking to Mike Stewart, and we're talking about the Beatles on the piano. George Martin really played most of the piano that we heard in the early Beatles songs.
And I'm just going through a sampling. We could probably talk about other ones, and forgive me if I've missed a few, but hey, I've got plenty of things to talk about if we give examples. One of the things that I thought was interesting as a kid watching the Shea Stadium concert, and I saw seen very videos, John played the Vox Continental combo organ on I'm Down.
Right.
He did the solo. So that was them actually playing, and it was a great organ part. You hear the groups like the Dave Clark Five and several, Procol Harum. There was a lot of British Invasion groups that had organs in them. And so I guess the Beatles decided, I saw several concert footage where you saw that Vox Continental organ, which was a staple of the 60s. And John did an amazing job on the I'm Down song.
Let's hope this one turns out pretty darn good, huh?
You tell lies, thinking I can't see. You can't cry, cause you're laughing at me. I'm down. I'm down. I'm down.
Plastic soul, man. Plastic soul.
Plastic soul. So that time down, it's a McCartney song doing his best Little Richard, and had John Lennon playing a great organ on there.
Right. In fact, one of my favorite things, Paul felt like he wasn't very soulful, and he said, plastic soul, plastic soul.
Right. Right.
And I think, I guess that's where they got the name for Rubber Soul. You know, maybe that's what they thought about.
That's exactly right. That's the way I heard it.
And we may be skipping over some piano parts, but this is one, as a student of the Beatles, I just went, how did they do this? And this was one that George Martin played. It's In My Life. The piano solo sounds like a harpsichord. Well, right. What it was as a Baroque, which is a style like Bach, Baroque arrangement of a piano part that George played at half speed. And when they sped it up to full speed, it sounded like a harpsichord. So the solo in In My Life was an amazing keyboard accomplishment that, you know, it didn't matter who did it. It was on a Beatle record, and it was innovative.
Yeah, it was George Martin on a piano, but it did sound exactly like a harpsichord. Let's take a listen to In My Life.
There are places I remember.
In My Life, John Lennon tune. We have Mike Stewart with us today. Mike's with the Box Tops. And so, Mike, you and the Box Tops are playing at City Winery coming up on July 30th. Is that right?
Yes, I'm real excited about playing Nashville. And I hope all our friends will come out and see us at City Winery Saturday the 30th. I think the show's at 8 p.m. And I'm really proud of the band. Gary Talley and Bill Cunningham, founding members, are just singing and playing great. Ron Kozrinski, amazing drummer. And I just love all these songs. And we've got some new audio visuals that show the band back in the 60s. So it's a splendid time, is guaranteed for all.
Box Tops have sold out the City Winery the last couple of times they've been there. And so we're looking forward to another sellout this week. There's still a few tickets left, aren't there, Mike?
Yes, yes. Just go to the City Winery Nashville website, and you can easily get tickets. I believe they're like $30, if I'm not mistaken, and there's a few tables left. So grab them while they're still available. Love to meet you. Come find me, Mike Stewart. I'll be the big guy on the keyboard.
Yeah, come find Mike. He'd love to chat with you, and Gary, too. All of them, actually.
Yeah, well, in fact, we've got a new CD of the new band playing the show. So, in other words, you can meet us at the merchandise table after the show and pick up a CD and an autographed picture of the current band playing the songs that we do on stage.
Yeah, that's what I love about City Winery is at the merchandise table, no matter who's playing there, they always hang out there and are glad to talk to those who came to the show. We need to take a break, so we would like to thank all of our sponsors, and we'll be back with Mike Stewart shortly. Welcome back to From Me to You. Claudine Iannucci is engineering and producing this show, as she always does, has for 8 years and plus. And I'm Richard Courtney. I've been here for 8 years myself. We have Mike Stewart, who's, you've been on at least once, twice. Have you been on, is this your third?
This show? Is my third, and I just love it every time. In fact, I'm a fan of the show, and I listen every chance I get. So let's keep the Beatle love alive.
We're keeping it going, and we're glad to be here. And we're talking about the piano instrumentation on Beatles records right now. And Mike's a great keyboardist and piano player with Box Tops, as I said. What's the next one you wanted to fill us in on?
The thing that happened at Lady Madonna, it wasn't all just piano. It's keyboards. It's all the different things that they did. And you got to remember, it's 50 years ago that they were doing these innovative sounds. But by Lady Madonna, maybe a few records before that, Paul started playing piano on the records.
Right.
And what I love about Lady Madonna, Paul has a style of playing where he does what you call a rolling left-hand octave. In other words, he's going from the low note to the high note when he plays his left hand. And then he plays a melody counter to that. So like, dun 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 is the melody. And he's got boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, boom in his left hand going. And it makes this amazing intro to Lady Madonna. And he does it in a lot of other records. And one of the things that's interesting to keyboard players, that was done on a piano called Mrs. Mills Piano. It was a Steinway upright grand that Abbey Road had. And a lot of big records were recorded on Mrs. Mills Piano. She was a famous, what they call a stride piano player, and she was a star in the 60s. So they named that piano Mrs. Mills Piano, but the Beatles made Mrs. Mills Piano more famous than anybody. And especially you can hear Mrs. Mills Piano on Lady Madonna.
All right, let's listen. Mrs. Mills Piano. I never listened to that song again, and I don't think Mrs. Mills, whoever she is, And we have Mike Stewart with us today, and he's really given us some great insight on the piano playing and keyboards on various Beatles songs. So what do you have next for us?
Well, you know, by this time, Paul, his proficiency at his piano playing, Jeff Emmerich was quoted as saying that Paul had impeccable time, which means that he could sit at the piano and play and not speed up or slow down. And Ringo could add drums to a piano track that Paul played without anything but his own hands, which is pretty amazing for a piano player.
He's backwards, right, as you would normally record the rhythm track first.
Most people would play with the drummer, but Paul did a lot of records where he did the piano first, then Ringo opened up the drums later. And, of course, Paul played a lot of tracks to begin with. I think one of the most innovative piano tracks that he ever worked on, and he played the piano on it, John played guitar. It was A Day in the Life. And there's several things in A Day in the Life that Paul did on keyboards that I think are just amazing. You know, in other words, when you hear the piano fills and the things that he does to complement John's rhythm guitar, you know, it's just what makes it magic. But more importantly is then he had the middle eighth that he wrote, which was the Wake Up, Fell Out of Bed. And that's got a lot of piano, great piano parts in it. But probably the most famous thing about A Day in the Life is they didn't know how to end it. And they took six pianos and all hit a big E chord on six different pianos, and then, of course, Jeff Emmerich kept bringing up the sound volume controls so that you have that magical, I use the word magic too much because that's what the Beatles are to me, but that just that ending note, it's the famous ending. So there's a lot of piano keyboard excellence in A Day in the Life.
I heard or read somewhere that in A Day in the Life, that and same as you, that they were all playing a piano, but that Ringo either came in late early or put off the pedal early or late. Have you read that?
Yeah, if you get on headphones and turn it up really loud, you can hear there's some inconsistency. In fact, you can hear the benches squeaking.
That what it is.
But more importantly, you know, they had done the orchestra swell, which was not keyboards, but it was a live orchestra, which was put on later. But they didn't know how to make it a final chord. And, of course, what the final chord was 12 hands on a piano, hitting it hard all at the same time, and they edited that on the end, and now we know it forever. But that was a keyboard pivotal moment for me to hear that big, giant piano. You know, when you buy the record in the 50 years ago, you go, how did they do it? They had so much of that how did they do it kind of stuff going on.
Right, especially even on Pepper, they used a 4-track, even though there was an 8-track in the building. But they recorded that on 4 tracks, the whole album, which is amazing.
Sure.
Let's listen to A Day in the Life.
Thank you. across my head. Found the way downstairs and drank a cup, and looking up, I noticed I was late. Found my coat and grabbed my hat, made the bus in seconds flat. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke, and somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Beatles off the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band LP. That is A Day in the Life. We're with Mike Stewart. Tell us more.
Well, you know, the first time I heard Strawberry Fields, it opens with a keyboard part. And of course, in today's technology, I'd say, well, that's a synthesizer. But synthesizers really didn't exist that much in 1967. They probably were invented, but the Beatles didn't have access to one. That opening keyboard part, which is the intro to Strawberry Fields, was created by Paul McCartney on a Lowry organ. That was the harpsichord preset on a 1960s Lowry organ. And when you hear it, you know it's Strawberry Fields.
Well, let's listen to Strawberry Fields.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. A dream. I think I know I'm in.
Yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever, Strawberry Fields forever, Strawberry Fields forever.
Strawberry Fields with Paul McCartney. I never knew that. Which one of those songs is either Eggman or Strawberry Fields had a Mellotron on it?
Picture yourself in a boat or a river. What is that? That's a...
Oh, that's Lucy in the Sky.
Lucy in the Sky has a Mellotron flute on the beginning.
Oh, okay. So that's...
Yeah, that blah, 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 blah. That was Paul on the Mellotron when they just got a Mellotron, which is a keyboard.
Let's listen to Lucy in the Sky just because we can.
Yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you. Train in a station with plasticine pauses, with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile, the girl with
All right, that was Lucy in the Sky, and that is a keyboard, a Mellotron, I don't know. And so, Mike, you and the Box Tops are playing at City Winery coming up on July 30th, is that right?
Yes, City Winery, Saturday the 30th. I think the show's at 8 p.m.
We need to take a break, so we would like to thank all of our sponsors, and we'll be back with Mike Stewart shortly. Welcome back to From Me to You. We're talking with Mike Stewart. You have several piano keyboard-type songs of the Beatles, so let's keep going.
Well, another thing that was very keyboard-centric was Mr. Kite. It was a John song, and they cut the track with Paul on bass and John on guitar, but they overdubbed a lot of keyboard parts, and of course they did some other sound effect things, but George Martin and Paul played organs, and they did what were called chromatic descending scales during the waltz section, you know, where Henry the Horse does the waltz. Then you hear these organs, and you hear these cascading, descending organ lines that were very complicated to play. Plus, you heard the sound effects that Jeff Emmerich and George Martin put in of calliopes and all these sound effects. They cut up the tapes, they threw them in the air, and they glued them back together and overdubbed that over top of the organs. So when you hear that wall of sound, in fact, I think the quote was John told George Martin, or George Martin says, I want to smell the sawdust.
Right, at a carnival, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why you've got sound effects of real calliopes with the melodies played on different organs. I believe that was Paul and George Martin doing it. So that song is just full of keyboard wizardry.
And that song is, it's titled Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, which a lot of people leave off that being for the benefit. And A Good Time is Guaranteed for All. And that's a great song, full of stuff that John took pretty much verbatim off of a poster that he had bought touring around England. So let's listen to Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
Show tonight on trampoline. The Hendersons will all be there. Late of Pablo Frank is there. What a scene. Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this way, Mr. K will challenge the world. Celebrated Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishopsgate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the ring. Don't be late. Mrs. K and H assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz. On solid ground. Ding ding, some days in preparation, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And tonight, Mr. Kite is topping the bill.
And there it is, Mr. Kite. And we're talking with Mike Stewart of the Box Tops, and we're talking keyboards and piano parts and Beatles songs. And so I guess we've left George Martin back in the studio, and we're going with Beatles mainly from now on, right?
Right. Most of the parts that were played from here on out was mostly Paul. I think George actually played some things, but we'll get to that in a moment. The next thing is there's another piano in Abbey Road called the Jangle Box. And Mrs. Mills' piano and Jangle Box Paul McCartney wanted to buy those pianos from Abbey Road, and Abbey Road refused to sell them to Paul because so many people wanted to come and play on the pianos that those hits were recorded on. So they made more money by owning those pianos because of the Beatles. But nowadays, Abbey Road actually will let you buy the Jangle Box and Mrs. Mills piano as what's called a computer virtual instrument. I actually own those pianos in my software. When you play them in your computer, it's the real piano. It's sampled from Abbey Road. So now Beatle fans can buy the Jangle Box and Mrs. Mills piano and hear it at home. And one of the most famous Jangle Box piano parts was Fool on the Hill. That was Paul playing. And if you want to hear what the Jangle Box piano sounded like, listen to Fool on the Hill.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. But nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make. And he never seems to notice, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Shows his feelings, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Oh, round and round and round and round and round.
There it is, Fool on the Hill. That's the Jangle Box as opposed to Mrs. Mills' piano that you hear on Lady Madonna. What else do you have on the Jangle Box?
I'm not sure if it was the Jangle Box or Mrs. Mills, but when we get to the White Album, Paul had this style of playing. You know, there's a great special on Hulu with Paul and another producer going through Beatle Masters. And Paul admits, he says, I'm not a very trained piano player, but I know how to play what I want to play. And so this left-hand technique that he did where he would rock his left hand in octaves, going from like an E to an E to an E, back and forth, and it's just rocking it, and it keeps the rhythm, and then he plays a melody. Martha, My Dear is a great example of Paul's unique style of solo playing. And when you hear that opening to Martha, My Dear, that is pure creativity from Paul McCartney on the piano. Not a complicated part, yet not a simple part, but so identifiable. And that was what I loved about Paul's piano playing, is that he had such a creative approach to creating things that were instantly recognizable. Just, you know, you could play four notes and know the song. So Martha, right. My Dear is a great one.
It's so beautiful. And it's funny when people bought their White Album on vinyl and turned over to side two, and there's Martha, My Dear, just coming out of nowhere. you just think, what in the world is this going to be? And then it's Martha, my dear. And then later on, we learn it's written to his sheepdog.
Martha was his sheepdog, yeah.
This is kind of funny. So let's listen to Martha, my dear, with Paul McCartney. McCartney with the Beatles on the White Album. As we all know, it was really basically four different Beatles projects where each Beatle brought their own song in, and then the others just were playing basically as a backup band on it, but they took it very seriously once they got in the studio, and they all played well. Are you going to talk about whatever that keyboard part is in Piggy's? Kind of a harpsichord sounding thing, but I don't know what it is.
It's a real harpsichord. I would think George Martin would have played it. I didn't have that on my list, but that's why I'm saying we could probably do five shows on Beatle keyboard parts.
Oh, absolutely. Especially after we got past Pepper. Well, yeah. Let's listen to Piggies anyway to get a George song in there.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play around in.
Forks and knives to eat the bacon. more time.
So that was Piggies, a George Harrison song with George Martin playing the real harpsichord as opposed to the piano that sounds like a harpsichord on A Day in the Life. And so, Mike, you and the Box Tops are playing at City Winery coming up on July 30th. Is that right?
Yes, City Winery, Saturday the 30th. I think the show's at 8 p.m.
And I'm sure those songs are good because you have The Letter, Cry Like a Baby.
Neon Rainbow.
Soul Deep. And yeah. I always forget about...
Choo Choo Train.
Not even that one. The next one about Forward March.
Sweet Cream Ladies.
Yeah.
That's an interesting song.
If you want to hear Sweet Cream Ladies and all the Box Top hits next Saturday night, you need to buy your tickets in advance because they have sold out the last 2 years running. Next week, Mike Stewart will be back and we'll be talking about the Atlanta connection, right, Mike?
That's right, yeah. The Beatles have a big Atlanta connection.
All right, well, tune in next week for Mike Stewart again, and we'll see you then.
For our last number, I'd like to ask your help. Would the people in the cheaper seats clap your hands? And the rest of you, if you just rattle your jewelry. Thank you. We'd like to sing a song called Twist and Shout.
To say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.